Happy New Year, everyone, including our replay viewers. Stand by as we get our streams going and we notify everyone that we are live. Today we'll be talking to IAM Government Employees Director Jim Price about the partial government shutdown, and Tracy Drummond from the William W. Wimpasinger Education and Technology Center in Hollywood, Maryland. She'll tell us about her new position and how you can stay up to date on what's happening at the training center that we affectionately call W3. We hope you'll share your feedback in the comments section of this video. So we are just a couple minutes away, actually 1 minute away from the beginning of our show. Jim Price is sitting right next to me here, Jim, and you have a lot to talk to us about. Do you want to give us a quick tease while I get my stream going?
Well, the quick tease is that we're in the midst of a government shutdown, something that was not necessarily unexpected. However, there are some things that are going on that people need to know about, and there's also resources we have to provide, we can provide for folks in the federal sector.
That's right. Well, as people join us, we do have information on our website, so we will give you that link, and we will show you some stats of people that are affected, including our members, IAM
yes.
members, NEFI IAM members.
Yes.
So we have lots of information for you, and we hope to end it on a positive note. The positive note, we're hoping that the government opens back up, but we hope to end it on a positive note.
From your mouth to God's ears.
I know, right? Hopefully. That's what we're hoping for. So we are at 3 o'clock. So it's 3 o'clock. Activate Live starts now.
Activate your voice. Fight for your rights. Speak up.
Speak out.
We're union and we're proud.
Go union.
Live from Maryland, this is Activate Live.
Welcome to our first episode of Activate Live for 2019. This is our weekly show allowing machinist union members and allies to activate their voices when it comes to organized labor and workers in general. I'm Tanya Hutchins, coming to you live from the Robert J. Kolaski Studio at our headquarters in Upper Marlboro, Maryland. Now, the federal shutdown that began 11 days ago marked the 21st time since 1976 that the U.S. federal government has shut down. PBS reports the longest shutdown lasted 21 days. Now, no matter how often or how long these shutdowns affect not only the American people, but the workers who keep the government running day to day. Joining us now to give some perspective is IAM Government Employees Director Jim Price. Thank you for being here, Jim.
I'm back again, and thank you for having me.
We appreciate you coming in. First off, tell us as a worker, what is this shutdown doing to our U.S. federal workers?
We've actually been reaching out to a lot of our federal employees and actually talking specifically about the impact that they're having. NEFI Federal District 1 has been reaching out to a lot of their particular members and their locals. My department, which oversees that, and as well as we deal with the IAM federal folks, we've been kind of reaching out to everybody to see how everybody's weathering the storm. This is somewhat unprecedented. It's not a surprise. It's something that basically we all thought would possibly happen. However, it's the things that happen to people during these shutdowns that basically causes the concern. Not only the folks that basically deal with the services, I mean, you know, that go out and have the services that given to them by the federal employees, but the federal employees themselves actually really suffer just immensely in situations like this.
You know, can you imagine making, you know, in the 20s, 20,000s,
yeah.
and having a paycheck end and having to pay your rent and having to pay your car payment
yeah.
and buy food?
Yeah.
You know, most people in this country do live paycheck to paycheck.
And the funny thing about that particular statement that she's just made is that a lot of people think when they hear about federal employees that federal employees are all people who work in Washington, D.C. That's the furthest thing from the truth that there could be. Latest statistics show that 15% of the federal workforce works in Washington, D.C. 85% work across the country. Your friends and neighbors in the Midwest and the West and the South, some of those folks are federal employees.
How many federal employees are we talking about here?
Currently, right now, it's about 800,000 federal employees that are affected. 420,000 are working without pay. That means they are working today. 380,000 have been furloughed. That means that they have not they don't have a job to go to.
And they're coming from a number of agencies and departments, aren't they?
Yeah, I think we got a list of those folks, those departments that are affected. And inside those particular departments, there's other subdivisions that are impacted as well.
Yeah, we'll come back to the Department of Interior. If we go to the next list, you could see even more departments and agencies.
Yeah.
And we can come back to NASA in a minute as well. But the Department of Interior, for instance, houses the National Park Service.
That'd be the Forest Service workers, and that would be out of Niffy Federal District 1. A lot of people will probably remember all of the fires that we had this year. It was Niffy IAM, Federal District 1 firefighters that were out there on the front line. It's about 5,000 of them are basically furloughed right now out of the 16,000 that basically in that agency that are currently off work. So God forbid something happens with a fire out in the West at this point.
And are we still keeping tabs on what's happening with NASA? I know we're watching NASA closely.
We basically are making we're reaching out right now, and I've got some places where we're looking to try to figure out what's going on, because NASA is not funded at all. Cape Canaveral, the NASA Center in Houston, Wallops Island down in Virginia, Langley Research Center, Stennis Space Center, we're currently doing some checking with those folks to find out where they are, if in fact they basically have been furloughed, or if in fact they are working without pay. That was a big concern. And with those folks, those are service contract folks, some of them. And so they're not federal employees. If they are working without pay and they're furloughed, they will not have the opportunity to regain any of the money that they lost during the shutdown.
And that can really destroy a life.
Yeah. Well,
livelihood.
Yeah. It's amazing how this is all playing. And I mean, you know, the thing that I guess that I'd say is that it just seems like this administration, everything happens during a holiday. If you remember back May 25th, we had the executive orders that were put down. And then now you've got a government shutdown on the 22nd of December, right before Christmas time. I was watching our directing business representative for IM Federal District 1, Randy Irwin, and he basically made a statement about one of his members that they went out, they bought Christmas presents, and when the shutdown happened, they unwrapped the Christmas presents and took them back because they weren't sure if they'd have the money to basically survive the shutdown. We've got folks at the Coast Guard base in Elizabeth City, North Carolina. We've got two folks down there that are husband and wife team. One's a general schedule worker, the other one's a wage grade. Both are furloughed. I think they received their last check this week. They were actually handed furlough packages on the 22nd of December.
See, that really puts a face to a furlough.
Yeah.
So it really...
Well, the other part of it, Tanya, is this. I mean, you know, we haven't really talked about the impact of this on the American public as well. I mean, if you've been watching the news, you've seen where the Park Service, which is another part of this whole thing, they're saying that basically the trash is piling up. People are riding around in their four-wheelers all over the restricted area, motorcycles all over the restricted area. There's no park rangers there.
Mm-hmm. No garbage collection.
No garbage collection.
No human waste collection.
That was part of the report as well. And I tell you what, that's a dangerous situation when you have stuff like that happen.
A lot of things that we wonder each time this happens is, could this have been prevented? And I know you tweeted about that recently.
Yeah, I did. and in my tweet, I mean, you know, it's really crazy to me. And you got to understand, we've got a guy who thinks he's a master negotiator. He's had three bites at the apple on this particular situation. Back in January of 2018, a bipartisan offer was made to President Trump to build his wall. And also along with that they would provide a path for citizenship for a lot of the DACA kids. That was rejected. On the 19th, Senator Schumer offered Trump $20 billion for a border wall. And as long as there was a pathway for citizenship for these DACA folks. And President Trump rejected that. He rejected another one on February 14th, where there was a bipartisan offer for $25 billion for his border wall. and that also included a pathway to citizenship.
And I think it's important that it was bipartisan.
Every one of them. And the last one, right before the shutdown, there was a bipartisan 100% Senate, Congress. They approved a budget to go before him, and that was for $1.6 billion, and he turned that down as well. So I guess my tweet was that, you know, for a person who basically considers himself a master negotiator, I mean, you know, that's kind of a poor record. Apparently they're going to meet today at 3 o'clock, not in front of the cameras, thank God, and they're going to sit down and talk about ways that they can try to refund the government and get it going.
So hopefully they're meeting right now.
Absolutely.
Tell us about the resources that are available to our members, because we do have some information that is up on our website,
yeah,
goiam.org, and on NEFI's website.
First, I want to say thank you to the communications department, because I don't think people realize this, but, you know, we were kind of off. Some of us were working while we were off. Between Jonathan, myself, and Delaine, we basically managed to post a lot of the shutdown information again for the third time, because this is the third time this has happened.
Yes.
We posted that, and we've been putting articles up to communicate with our members to let them know what's going on. Take a minute and go back and look at this on our website. This is all this on the IM website. It's on my government employees page. We need to basically look at that and use those resources, because this may be a long ride. This thing could go on for a while. The longest shutdown, I think, was 21 days.
Yeah.
And we're, what, day 11?
Yeah. And I think the other shutdown that was 28 days was like three separate instances that
Absolutely.
Added up to 28 days.
Absolutely.
We're hoping it doesn't go that long.
Yeah. There's some things that we're planning to do to get the word out. There's some work and some conversations about possibility of a rally. There's some information that we're looking for out of the Government Employees Department, also working in tandem with IM Federal District 1. We want to try to do what we can do to help our members. We're going to be there for you. If you need to talk with us, give us a call. That would be either IM Federal District 1 or here at IM Headquarters. Again, thanks to the communications department, because we were able to get a lot of stuff out and put it up fairly quickly.
And thanks to Jonathan Battaglia, our assistant director, and Delaine Adams, our communications representative.
Yeah.
Thank you for getting the information to them.
Yeah.
And our international president has been tweeting about this as well.
Yes, he has.
So if you want to follow Bob Martinez on Twitter, you can. You can follow Jim Price, J Price, 322. On there as well. Let's look at the comments really quickly. We have a few so far. We have Brian here saying solidarity with all of our brothers and sisters hurt by the shutdown, federal employees and the contractors that support them as well. Thank you, Brian, for your comment. Valerie Donovan Rodriguez saying solidarity for our NEFI brothers and sisters. Thank you, Valerie. This really hits close to home. It's Dave Lehive saying stay strong, keep the solidarity. You know, perfect example of why elections matter. That is so true. We
Absolutely.
Always say vote for people that will vote for you.
Absolutely.
That will vote for your issues, no matter which side of the aisle you're on.
Yeah.
You know?
Those folks that support your pocketbook are the ones you need to be looking at and giving some credence to.
And we're keeping track of how each representative, you know, votes on workers' rights.
Absolutely.
That's very important for us to keep track of. Anything else you'd like to mention?
Just the fact that I want people to understand that we are trying to do some things politically with the government. I know that the legislative department is working very hard. Hassan Solomon and his crew, they've been actually tweeting back and forth and emailing as well with myself and Jonathan and Delaine. Been getting legislative updates from Hassan about these meetings and things of that nature. So big shout out to them as well.
Okay, thanks so much for taking the time out of your day. I know it's been a busy, hectic day for you.
Not a problem.
Hopefully we'll have some good news out of this meeting that's taking place today.
Like I said, from your mouth to God's ears.
Best case scenario, I'm going to think positively.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you so much.
And if you have any more comments for Jim, you can go ahead and comment. He will see them, because he does check the comments when he can. Well, more than 72,000 students have studied at the William W. Wimpasinger Education and Technology Center in Hollywood, Maryland. That's about an hour south of Washington, D.C. Here's an overview, literally. That beautiful video was shot by communications representative John Lett, showing the location of the Wimpasinger Center in Southern Maryland, where students have been studying since 1981. One of the center's newest employees is Education Resources Representative Tracy Drummond, who joins us now. Thanks so much for being here, Tracy.
Thanks for inviting me on.
We are so excited that you are here.
Me too.
Tell us a little bit first to give us some background about where you came from before you came to Maryland.
Well, I think some of our brothers and sisters might know me from my previous job, which is archivist for the Southern Labor Archives at Georgia State University in Atlanta. Through that position, I worked with a lot of folks to bring in their historical, their locals' historical records to the archives. We conducted a lot of oral histories with retirees, and then we also... I've also been active with the Local Lodge History Project, which is a class that is taught every other year or so at the Wimpasinger Center, where we bring in folks from a local and teach them how to do their own oral histories and tell their own story and keep their own historical records.
I'm fascinated by that because there's so much history out there, and it's nice to have it documented in one place.
The archives does great work in, you know, sort of bringing everything together. We've got I'm still saying we, because I've only transitioned from the job for a few months, but I also take a lot of pride in the work that I did when I was there in getting a lot of the machinist records online. So we've got a lot of district and local periodicals online. There are a lot of the Grand Lodge periodicals back to 1889 that have been digitized and put online. There are over 40 oral history interviews, we also have a special digital collection for our Canadian brothers and sisters. And
the locals can access that?
Yeah, like, from the Georgia State University Library website under their digital collections.
That is incredible. Mm-hmm. So now you are coming, you have arrived
in
Maryland as an education resources representative. Mm-hmm. What does that entail?
It's a couple of different things. It's really someone... at the Wimpasinger Center to help them manage content and information, whether I'm working with members who are looking for particular resources or on labor history or organizing or collective, you know, they come there for the class, but maybe there's more that they want to learn once they leave, or maybe they can't make it to a class right away and they would have questions about resources. So I'm the point person for that. I'm also updating the web content. I recently started our social media campaign. We never really had one prior to
this. So happy about that.
Everyone is very happy about it, and so that is getting started. So lots of different things, but if you think of it in terms of helping people get information they need and managing content maybe behind the scenes. That's kind of information management.
So if people want to go to the website, it is wimpasinger.imaw.org.
Right.
And I know that's a lot.
It is a lot.
Wimpasinger, so Wimpasinger dot imaw.org. Mm-hmm. So, and we will put that up on the screen for you later anyway. But there's so much information there with the course descriptions and the About section, which is where I got a lot of my information. Mm-hmm. But it's growing so fast. We said that 60,000 students had gone through a few years ago. Now we're up to over 70,000 students since 1981. You mentioned social media accounts, mm-hmm. and I've followed them. I hope everybody else out there follows them.
Yeah.
But we have a few of them that we could pull up.
Sure.
So this, I think, is your... Is that your Twitter page?
Yeah, that's Twitter.
Excellent. So it's at, your handle is at IAMW3 Center. Mm-hmm. And this is the page that you'll see. So if you're watching, please go follow on Twitter. You can follow on Facebook and Instagram as well. And this just reminded me that I forgot to start my Instagram. And I'm going to do it right here. I've done this before. But we're going to start our Instagram live video right there. Better late than never, right?
Okay. Absolutely.
So we're live now on Instagram. So hi, everybody on Instagram. This is Tracy Drummond from W3 Center. I have my little phone right here on the desk. So we got that going. You missed Jim Price. I'm sorry, but you have to go back and watch one of our other feeds. But we're hoping everyone follows you to stay up to date on all the classes that are there.
Right.
You've been putting up a lot of the photos from the classes.
I think it's a great way to share the photos of the folks. People take so much pride in their work because, honestly, if you've been there, you know, we kind of work you to death while you're there. You know, there's so much to learn in such a short period of time. And people are really proud at the end of the week. So we like sharing photos of the different classes that have come through. But I'm going to be posting deadlines for different classes to remind people, hey, if you're trying to get in this class, you know, and if we only offer it once or twice during the year, you know, get on top of it and get registered.
That is key because that's the time that people really want to know, hey, you have a week left to register for this class. Or
exactly.
If there's still room in the class, you would know a lot faster than we do here at headquarters.
Right, right. And there's so much that the folks there have to do in terms of like arranging like travel and making sure there are rooms for everybody and stuff like that. So it's really not just, you know, a week before the class starts, hey, can I register today? Because so much has to happen prior to far in advance.
So we try to remind everybody like at least a month or two ahead of time, you know. Mm-hmm. If we can get 2 months ahead, you know, we try to do that as well. And we'll have our calendar coming up as well. What are some of your goals for this year? You know, when you accepted this position, you know, what was really on your mind about what you'd like to do?
One of my favorite things has always been, regardless of, you know, in my career as an information professional, has been connecting with membership. When I was archivist for the Southern Labor Archives, my favorite thing would be to go to events where I could meet members of, and I worked with lots of different unions, not just the machinists in that position, but very closely, perhaps more closely with the machinists. Just meeting folks and letting them know that their history is important, that their work is so important, that everybody has a great story to tell, every local has a great story, and to really help them obtain the resources that they need or learn about the resources they need to preserve that history and to share it with folks. So I hope to get a lot of really great resource guides on the members only section of our website that will help people with that, but also you know, with so much information out there, like this idea between information and knowledge, right? There's so much information. When does that turn into knowledge? And putting out resources that'll help people evaluate the information they're getting online.
And here's your website right here.
Yeah,
have listed. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Are there things that members can do to help you in your job when it comes to labor history?
If you know, if you are interested in preserving your history, don't call us a week before the shredder comes up. You know, call as soon as you know something, and then I can put you in touch with the folks at Georgia State who can help you figure out, you know, what are the best materials to donate. I want to hear, we're sort of refurbishing the library. There are some maybe perhaps outdated resources in our stacks that we will be deaccessioning, and we want to bring in new stuff that's relevant to all of our membership and across our membership. So if people have ideas of the types of books that would be interested or any other kind of resource or a resource guide that would be useful to them, reach out to us and let us know.
The more we communicate with each other, the more we
precisely,
know.
Precisely. I can help them best if I hear from them about what they need.
That is great. I hope you get a lot more information coming your way.
Yes, definitely.
Definitely. I didn't tell you I was going to ask you this, but how did you first become involved with unions?
Actually, I became an archivist. So my path was when I graduated with my undergraduate degree, there were no jobs,
and what was your degree in originally?
Oh, I have an art history degree with a minor in film theory and criticism.
All right,
and that's why perhaps there were no jobs. And they're great. They're great fields, but I wasn't ready to pursue them further. So I grew up near Athens, Georgia, home of the Georgia Bulldogs, and I had a lot of friends that worked at the University of Georgia Library, right? And they said, well, you know, we've got some jobs, they can come here. So actually my path was through libraries and archives. I ended up getting my master's degree in information science. And then when the job at the Southern Labor Archives at Georgia State University came up and I applied. And what really appealed to me was to be in a position to help a traditionally underrepresented population, working class people, have their stories preserved and told through an archive, you know, and be there for research for folks who are working on dissertations, who are working on documentaries, who are working on books, right? to be able to come and use the material. And then just as over the 11 years that I was there, as I worked closely, like I said, with the machinists, and you know, formed friendships and you know, had a lot of contacts here at the Grand Lodge, and some of my best buddies are like retirees, like, you know, folks I've interviewed. So just, you know, being able to come on here as the education resources rep has just been so wonderful and rewarding. So.
I can tell that's a passion of yours, working with working people and working with retirees. It really comes through.
I have a working class background, and if I had sat down with any of my grandparents who were mill workers and sharecroppers and asked them for their stories, they would have told me that their stories weren't important. But we know that they are.
They definitely are. I mean, I even look back at conversations that I had with grandparents and great-grandparents, and I wish that I had just recorded it, you know? So both of us are getting, like, teary-eyed.
I know, right?
Because it's just something to talk about. Our families, everyone out here that's watching right now has somebody in their family. And I'd say if you have elders right now, interview them now.
Yes.
We have comments coming up already.
Oh, sure, sure.
And they are saying, Fred is saying, she is awesome. History is the best education. See, they get it, Tracy.
They
definitely
thanks.
Get it. This is great. I even have Matt Griggs saying W3 is an amazing place. Everything's great. I just love the fact that so many of our members have been there, have taken the classes, so they know what we're talking about. And the ones that haven't been there yet have had an opportunity to hear from people who have and the experience. But because you're right, knowledge is power.
Yes.
And we have to know where we've come from and what our history is. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you'd like to mention about your current position and just what you look forward to in the coming year?
Meeting more folks. If you come for a class, don't hesitate to stop by the library. I am located in the library. The gift shop's on one end. Most folks, I like to think, come for the gift shop and stay for the library. and just stop by and say hello and introduce yourself. And there is a contact portion of our website. If you've got any questions, don't hesitate to send them on.
Excellent. Thanks so much for taking the time out to be here today.
My pleasure.
Good luck with your new position, and we will keep in touch this year. And hopefully we'll be down at W3 to do an Activate Live show down there.
Awesome.
Great.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Yes, Happy New Year, everyone. And we'd like to thank everybody who is joining our conversation. So what do you think? Let us know what you think about what you've seen so far. You can comment now to activate your voice about the William W. Wimpasinger Center. It's a new way of communicating and documenting the great work of labor education. So the center is an excellent resource and benefit of your IAM union membership. So you can like, you can comment, you can share this video on Facebook, you can retweet it on Twitter, you can use the chat on YouTube. Feel free to do that, even during the replay, and we will get back to you. We love it when our members talk to each other, and even when members end up talking to general workers who may be non-union members looking to find out about union membership. So this is great. Rosie's Machinist 751 tells me the University of Washington also has a labor archives, which is a great resource. Thank you for telling us about that, Rosie. So we can see, we've got our voice out there on the West Coast as well. So thank you, Rosie. Anybody else out there, let us know if you have any resources that you'd like to mention in the comments section, because we want to get as much knowledge out there as we can. Well, grab a pen, take note, because here's a look at what's coming up in the next few months. We do have our Wimpasinger Center calendar. The 2019 classes at the Wimpasinger Center include Train the Trainer, January 20th, Leadership 1, February 10th, Women's Leadership is February 17th, and Leadership 2, February 24th to March 1st. And here's the website we're telling you about. For more information, including course descriptions, are on the website. It's wimpasinger.iamaw.org. That's wimpasinger.iamaw.org. W-I-N-P-I-S-I-N-G-E-R. Okay. Also coming up, we have the Indigenous Peoples March is January 18th. 2019, coming up in Washington, D.C., be a part of the movement. So a lot of workers will be there as well. We know we'll have some representatives, hopefully, from Council Fire, which was created by a machinist. The next day, January 19th, is the Women's March. I think this is the third annual. The Women's Wave is coming, so
we'll have hundreds and thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands of women again descending on Washington, D.C. Many women workers making their voices heard there as well. And then that same weekend is the AFL-CIO's Martin Luther King Jr. Conference. That starts on January 18th, and it runs through the 21st. So people are registering for that now. You can go to the AFL-CIO website, aflcio.org, for more information on that. So we have a lot to look forward to. The IAM's Women's Conference is coming up April 2nd to the 6th, and that will be at Bally's Hotel in Las Vegas. The theme is Women Rising, Unite the Fight. So it's been a while since we've had a women's conference. So we're hoping to get a good turnout there. It will be mostly women, but we have some men supporters who will be there as well. We're trying to get programming for them. And it's not too late to enter our T-shirt design contest. So if you're an artist out there, you have a chance for the next month. Submit your entry by February 1st to design the T-shirt for the Women's Conference. So get those entries in. Spread the word. They're coming in slowly, but we need some more. So spread the word to your friends who are artists and love women's issues, love labor issues. This is your chance to showcase your work. So we do have a lot to look forward to. And in June 4th to the 6th, is the IAM's Communications Conference. That will take place at Planet Hollywood in Las Vegas. This is your chance to activate your voice as a communicator in your local or district. So we have a lot to look forward to this month and this year, and we hope you'll be able to take part in as many activities as you can. We're really looking forward to everything. We'd like to wish everyone a happy new year. And that is it for this episode of Activate Live, our first of the new year. We will see you next Wednesday at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on the same social media channel.